Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Off and rolling, Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on @_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer for today. Connor should be back tomorrow, but that would be George Ruggiero @KingGeorge94 on X. King George, how we doing, brother?
Could be better, I think.
Okay.
I'll check on your mental health
in a second.
Yeah, we covered that.
But I do want to wish, happy 2-year anniversary to my lovely wife, Taylor. How about that? 2 years flies by. Time flies when you're having fun. How about that? 2 years.
Congratulations.
I know, right? And I know some people will shame me because now that if I'm telling you that this is my wedding anniversary, that means I had a fall wedding. We know how people feel about fall weddings. My wedding day was the day that Memphis played Boise State at home and won. So there is that. For those that were wondering, telling on myself a little bit, huh?
Timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Want to get to Monday Night Football. Also, want to break down some of the things that we learned that we normally would have discussed and talked about yesterday. But we had Grizz Media Day 2025.
We were a little preoccupied.
Yeah, and Grizz Media Days, all of the interviews that we did, Ja Morant, Jaren, Tomas Isolo, KCP, Ty Jerome, all of these different guys, they're all up, 92.9ESPN.com, as we are talking right this second. So if you want to go check out any of those interviews, make sure you do them after the show, but you can go check out those interviews as your heart desires. But we'll talk about the Super Bowl halftime show. We have plenty to get to there. We have a trip around the National Football League at 5:30. As far as guests are concerned, it's a normal Tuesday show. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join. And we have plenty to discuss with him, some Tiger basketball news as they have started practice. They have rolled along. And then 6 o'clock, Christian Fowler will join the show, talk Tiger football. And so we do our podcast every Monday, releases on Tuesday. It's called the On the Bluff Podcast by Bluff City Media. It's on their Bluff City Media Podcast Network. But releases every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. I would imagine Christian has, well, he wants to bring this to the show today. He has a big issue with college football's officiating. I don't know if you have sort of gone down this rabbit hole as well, but through 5 weeks, there's just been a lot of games changed by officials making stupid calls. And I can just go back to last week, where SEC officials had no idea about the rule about hiding wide receivers on the sideline in the Oklahoma-Auburn game. I mean, listen, as much as I know this helped the team that I root for, the Cortez Bram push off on Arkansas, and then ultimately a hold late in that game that was called on Arkansas that I don't know was particularly a hold. This week we had some targeting issues. The one in the Oregon-Penn State game was so egregious. Oregon's player was wrapped up from behind. His knees were down. Here comes a Penn State safety hitting him directly in the head, launching with his head down, too, by the way. It was textbook. And it would have been one thing if they just didn't call it on the field and moved on with their lives. But they called it to an official review, and they still didn't call a targeting there. Then I watched the Alabama and Georgia game.
Yeah.
And did you see the targeting that was called and upheld in that game in the second half?
Yep.
Georgia hands it off to their running back. He gets stood up at the line, and they called him defenseless. But an Alabama player came in and hit him. Like, just, to me, normal hit. Head-to-head contact happens sometimes. It wasn't a launch.
They were stood up.
His head wasn't down. The guy that was running the ball was straight up and down, clearly not defenseless. They called that a targeting and upheld it after review. I mean, my problem is the consistency when it comes to college football officiating, truthfully. And I know Christian's going to have a lot to say about it. But I wanted to pick your brain on that.
I've
noticed a lot through 5 weeks that I don't want to notice.
No. If this tells you anything, and like the fact that not just people that like go back and watch all the tape or as much of it as they can, you know, handle. I'm in the stands in Oxford this weekend. This is not even...
Oh, yeah. Ole Miss had 14 penalties.
And the thing is, like, this is how bad... I don't want to say, because a lot of them were... Like, the right call. And the thing is, they missed some very easy ones.
Yeah.
On both, the entire game. The fact that I had multiple people ask me, specifically me, hey, is this the same crew that worked Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma last week?
Right.
And I'm like,
not a good sign.
I don't know, but wouldn't shock me.
Right, for sure. All right, now, we did have Monday Night Football last night.
We did.
Wish we did. The first game, which we talked about as we signed off yesterday, was your Jets on the road against the Dolphins. Now, you said you had concerns about it, and I said, it's a Dolphin. Surely, you know, it's a good time. At least the Jets have some decent vibes, right? Aaron Glenn at least has them fighting a little bit. Whether you believe that or not, and the Dolphins, they're not giving effort. Mike McDaniel can't convince them to give effort. They've had bad vibes the entire season. So I said, no, don't be that concerned. If they lose, they lose. You don't think they're going to the playoffs. But if they win, I think they have a chance, right? They have an opportunity to go beat a bad team, even on the road. Well, the Dolphins win 27-21. I just need to ask you, George, like, I need a mental health check-in. Listen, I could do this every year for the past – what's their playoff drought at now? 11?
Yes, 12? Since
11?
2014, I think it was.
11? Going to be 12?
Yeah, going to be 12.
So I could have asked this to you
throughout
your childhood.
Yeah.
Since you started working here, when you were in college, I could have asked you this any particular year. But now that we're at this point, they're 0-4. Like, I need is your mental health okay? How are you feeling? You okay?
Not the best. Not the best about the team. It's everything. It's just all the problems. Like, even when they were struggling last couple seasons under Rob Sala, you know, you go into games thinking, okay, you know what? At least the defense will hold us up in games. All right, the defense has been atrocious, to say the least, this season. Really bad. And what makes it just the cherries on top is, like, I can pick out individuals where I'm like, man, I wish they would play better. Or, man, I wish they were on the field because I know they're a playmaker, looking at Quincy Williams, who's, I think, on IR now.
Yep.
Real great that, you know, our best sideline-to-sideline linebacker is out for a handful of weeks. Fantastic. Love that. Oh, today, Braylon Allen, also likely to hit the IR with a lower body injury.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yes. Great. Just the vibes have been so bad. A lot of the same issues that we've seen from that team over the last couple seasons, where we all think, okay, it can't get worse than this, and recognizing, okay, the roster isn't great.
Sure.
I fully recognize it. Like, the roster is not in a place where they should be competing. It's a very young team. It's one of the youngest teams in the NFL, if I remember correctly. but the same issues year in and year out just keep on coming back. I mean,
turnovers, fumbles.
The fact of the matter is that they turned the ball over three times, and they were all fumbles. This was not a, like, necessarily a Justin Fields throwing interceptions, you know, playing poorly issue. I don't think Justin Fields had that bad of a game.
Right.
He kept things pretty close to on schedule. That first drive where they go 90 yards down the field. Oh, they fumble it away into the end zone. Okay.
They ran the hell out of the ball last night.
Okay, cool. This is great. Oh, Fields just fumbled on the plus side. All right, that's great. Oh, we get the ball. You know what? We'll be okay. We scored some good points. Nick Folk hit a 50-some-odd yarder.
Right.
Ageless wonder. We're on the board. Let's get to the second half. We'll be okay. We get the ball first. Oh, on the kickoff return, we fumble it again. All right. Well, yeah. Well, now they've got – Dolphins have it in plus territory. That's excellent.
It's comical. It honestly, to me, not being a Jets fan,
I hate to
say it, it is comical because the same things pop up every year. Badly timed mistakes. No mistakes are well timed, okay?
No.
But they are as bad, poorly timed mistakes as possible. Three fumbles last night, and all were picked up by the Dolphins. And I think Breece Hall put it pretty well after the game, right? Breece Hall, this was the quote. It's a tale of three out of our four losses. Teams will shoot themselves in the foot, and we come back and shoot ourselves in the head.
Yep.
That's a perfect way of putting it, Breece. But honestly, this dates back to as soon as Rex Ryan was out. I mean, this is the same thing you see year after year after year with the Jets. And, you know, I'm a fan of Aaron Glenn. I think he's trying to build a culture. It's not going to be something that turns around overnight, anything like that. But you know what? Know who else I said that about? Robert Saleh. Know who else I said that about? Todd Bowles. I said that about all of these coaches that have tried to
Thank
get
you for
the
at least
Jets.
Leaving out the worst one. He who shall not be named.
Yes, I'm not going to bring up Adam Gase. That's ridiculous.
I
don't know if we can call him, you know, if he tried to do anything good with that franchise or any franchise he was a head coach with. But it's just no matter who's there as a head coach, no matter how many good players they have had the last 11 years in this playoff drought, they find a way to lose games. They have learned as a franchise, no matter who the players are, how to lose. Whether they go for it, whether they sit on their hands and don't do anything, it's the same story every single last year. And what really frustrates me about last night's game, watching it, knowing that I was going to be talking to you today about it, I was rooting for you. I was hoping the Jets would get their first win of the year.
Me too.
But I was watching the other side, and I know they're on the road against the Dolphins in Miami, but the Dolphins are a really horrid football team. And on top of being a bad football team, George, they don't give effort. They seem to have, for the most part, quit on Mike McDaniel, and the Jets still can't get a win and get out of their own way when they are the team giving more effort on Monday Night Football. There was a play, the Justin Fields touchdown run, for example. Just seriously, go back. This showed up on film all night for the Miami Dolphins, even in a win. Go back and watch that Justin Fields touchdown run where he rolls out right on a play action. It's third and short, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was actually fourth and short.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then he rolls back across the field, runs for a touchdown around the left edge, even though he rolled out right to start the play. You can watch Bradley Chubb, who gets paid how much a year?
Whew.
Way over 20 or somewhere around there. He's a highly paid edge that has not really shown through for the Miami Dolphins to this point. And the D-tackle that was next to him, fourth and short, they both submarine, go on the ground for fourth and short, thinking it's going to be a run play. They see Justin Fields rolling out the other way. They just stay on the ground. They didn't even effort to get back up. And ultimately, they were the reason that Justin Fields was able to reverse field, get around the edge, and go get a touchdown on that play. Because they were, you saw the play, just laying directly on the ground, watching the play.
And it wasn't even like it was a pancake situation
no.
where the line just did it.
They submarine for short yardage and just laid there.
Just stayed. They're like, eh,
I'm tired.
We're comfortable.
I'm tired. It's fourth down.
It's warm out here. Yeah, it's cozy. It could be nap time even.
Yeah, but that's the thing that bothers me about last night's game for the Jets. You played a team that seemingly has given up on its coach and given up on itself. And you still made, against that team, enough mistakes to lose a ball game. That's where, if I were you, I would be beside myself with my New York Jets, but I'm sure you've probably already given up on the season for the most part. You'll watch.
Oh, yeah, of course I'm going to watch.
I think you have, just correct me if I'm wrong, the whole giving up on the season, hey, this Justin Fields thing probably not going to work out. They're probably going to have a changes of scenery at the quarterback position at some point going into the next couple of years, although he's on a two-year contract.
Oh, yeah. And thing is, like, and that's the worst part about it, in a way, is the fact that, like, there are positives to pull out of some of these things. Like, Fields, like I said, Fields didn't play poorly. I don't think he was the issue. I mean, even through the air, he was relatively efficient, kept the ball out of harm's way for the most part. There were a couple times where, like, obviously he's trying to get it into, well, the only receiver that is worth anything on that roster, Garrett Wilson, where you do put it in harm's way. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot else for him to really do there. And then the run game was fine. Like, they ran the ball pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, how many yards per carry did they average? Pretty sure it was pretty high. Yeah, 7 yards per carry last night running the ball. But 3 turnovers, 3 fumbles. And hell, they outgained the Dolphins by 100 yards plus.
How many penalties, though?
I don't even think you want to get into that.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Also, that OPI on Garrett was
ridiculous. Yeah. Penalties. Okay. Let's see. Penalties 13 for 101.
Woo! Well, there's that extra 100 yards you came up with.
No doubt about it. Also, when you fumble the ball 3 times, you give shorter fields, better field position to an opponent, and that's usually where the yards go.
Yeah. Two of them were, one I want to say was right around the 50, the Fields, and then the one on the kickoff got Miami the ball at the 35, I think it was.
Yeah. Now, something did happen in that game last night, and I would regret.
I was going to say this was a good night for Riley.
It was a good night for Riley Patterson, no doubt.
He had a good night.
But one thing that did happen last night that I would regret if I didn't bring it up is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
If you're squeamish, make sure you stay off social media and don't look at what happened to Tyreek Hill.
It's pretty gnarly.
It's really gross. It's really bad. I think it's sort of I remember Mackenzie Milton, where you just saw them when they stopped and you saw the way their foot was pointing. It was just bad. But they called it a dislocated knee. But with a dislocated knee comes probably ACL,
it was
MCL,
ACL,
PCL. Like, usually multiple ligaments are damaged if you dislocate your knee. And it was pointing the wrong direction. But he seemed in high spirits, Tyreek Hill did. Like, he was sort of smiling there on the cart on the way out. There's videos of him with a car trailing him, I guess one of his buddies, where he's smiling in the ambulance, giving him the thumbs up. I know that his agency has said he plans on playing in 2026. I don't know how soon that will be, because this seems like probably more than a year rehab easily, so it would take him into the beginning of next season. But that was tough to watch. No doubt about it. That was a really gnarly injury, and it was you could see it live.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. He got rolled up on, and the leg just did its own thing.
Just gave out. I mean, watched it live, knew as soon as the tackle happened, I'm like, okay, wait, that's not good.
Yes.
Like, that just, it looked bad. It was bad. Huge credit to all of the medical staffs involved from what they said on the broadcast, because it was on the Jets sideline where this happened. As soon as it happened, multiple Jets trainers and staffers ran over to him and immediately started, performing the necessary work.
Trying to pop it back in and give him the air cast, all that.
So, I mean, and of course, obviously, we all saw as well the Dolphins, their staff ran over as quickly as possible. So, obviously, the huge credit to those men and women who do that.
Yeah.
But it was...
Those type of leg injuries can be very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Arteries, veins all running down through there. You got to be very careful. Very careful. Because there could be a lot more damage than just ligaments and bones.
Mm-hmm.
It could get really bad. So prayers for Tyreek Hill. I know he's in the hospital. I think he's gone through surgery.
Yes, right? I think the procedure happened today. I saw something about that. Heard it was successful, the rehab process for him. starts as soon as he's cleared to.
Yep. All right, now the other game last night, do you really have anything to say about it? 28-3 Broncos, and I knew it was going to end up that way because, surprise, Bengals defense stinks, one, and yep. Bengals don't have Joe Burrow for the foreseeable future, probably the whole year. So I don't have any hope for what the Bengals can accomplish. I don't think anybody should have any hope for what the Bengals can accomplish. Jake Browning's not a good quarterback. There's a reason he's just been sitting there as a backup. But I will deliver this message to the Bengals and their front office. This is the risk you run when you pour an inordinate amount of money into three players all on the offensive side of the ball at only two different positions. You have Joe Burrow at the quarterback position, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. Those are your highest paid guys. Didn't invest in the defense, didn't invest in the offensive line, didn't invest in just about anything else. You've invested in those three guys. So in that particular situation, no matter how good those guys are, if one of them goes down, season is seemingly lost. So I'm out on the Bengals. You can't be in on the Bengals if they don't have Joe Burrow and Jake Browning starting quarterback. But in the end of the day, I think this is really what we're seeing from them, truly a function of the way that front office has managed their roster. They just have no other redeeming qualities besides those three guys. And if one of them goes down, season feels lost.
Truly, those three players are their entire offensive operation.
It's their whole team, though, really, at this point.
And what makes it, I think, even worse is the way that the front office as a whole, and this goes up to ownership, also tends to treat their players. I mean, we all saw the Ja'Marr Stewart situation unfold through the offseason.
Really kind of unheard of how that played out.
It almost happened the year prior with their first-round offensive lineman, Amarius Mims,
right,
which is kind of the starting point for them with those issues with these high draft picks. So, like, a lot of it they're bringing on themselves.
Yeah, like I don't even think a lot of it. I think all of it. They don't have their investments on their or in their organization spread out enough.
No.
They just have not made a balanced roster. They have not put together a balanced roster, and you have to. Injuries are going to happen. You have to be able to stay afloat if those happen. And you have three guys making more money than the rest of the team, and if one of those guys goes down, you don't feel the same about that team. It's that simple. And even with those guys healthy last year, that was a 9-8 team that missed the playoffs. I think it's just when we talk about the Bengals really historically, it's just mismanagement of rosters, being cheap on a consistent basis, and just not building well. I mean, that's really what it comes down to with the Cincinnati Bengals year after year after year.
Now, I do have to ask. The Bengals currently have three quarterbacks on their roster not named Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Do you know, obviously we know Jake Browning. The other two being...
They have Rippon.
Brett Rippon and Sean Clifford. Do you think, not just do they need to, because the answer to do they need to, it's an absolute yes. Who do you think could bring in, like, at the quarterback position that could even make a difference? Is it anybody at all?
I don't know. I think at this point you're just sort of – it's kind of pointless, isn't it? It's kind of pointless. Because even if you were to bring in a Russell Wilson or a Jameis Winston
– I was going to say, please go with Jameis instead.
And they somehow – won a few games, put themselves into wild card contention. Does anyone have any hope with their defense and their run game and their offensive line that they would make any noise with a quarterback like that, even if they played above their head the entire year? I think it would be pointless to even look for outside options, look for a trade target to try to keep you afloat. I think it would. I don't know about you. I don't think it would make any sense.
I tend to agree. It does not make sense to me right now with the entire roster being what it is at the moment. It does not make sense to give up assets that, look, even if it's a seventh.
And honesty needs to come out here as well when it comes to Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
he's worth the money he's being paid. I'm not disputing that in the slightest. But I don't think the Bengals had any tender loving care or thought at all about how much time he's missed as the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. Sort of on 1 year, off 1 year. On 1 year, off 1 year. Season-ending injury, then he plays a full season. It's for him, like, I think they should have probably thought about that a little bit more with their investments. Yeah, invest that money into Joe Burrow, but two wide receivers being as high paid as they are, you got to be a little bit more careful about that. Joe Burrow has not been a guy who's been able to stay on the field enough during his sort of early NFL career. And that's just the reality of it. It's the reality we're looking at right now. Now, something we did miss yesterday because of Grizz Media Day 2025. I know I think you're a big fan. Bad Bunny going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm all in. I'm good with that. I love seeing the old curmudgeons of the world, the older folks, talk about, and this happens with anybody. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, whoever.
Oh, I was going to say it was the same thing last year.
Halftime shows aren't for you anymore. Okay, they're not gonna bring Kenny Chesney out there. They're not gonna bring anybody out there. Your country singers. Okay, they're not gonna throw it way back and get some of the artists that you loved in the 80s and 90s. Okay, this is modern era stuff that we go for, and it's kind of funny that a lot of them are talking about how, I don't know Bad Bunny. I have no idea who Bad Bunny is. Well, one, some good should.
You should.
WWE, he's made some appearances there. He's been on SNL. He was in Happy Gilmore, too, as the caddy. And he makes great music. And if you look at the charts as of right this second worldwide, internationally, which, let's be honest, with all of the international outreach that the NFL has done and conducted the past, 5 to 10 years, they clearly want that international outreach. Bad Bunny is the most popular artist in the free world right now, in the world. So, you know, I get that, sitting in the suburbs of Memphis at 50 years old, you may not know who Bad Bunny is. But I promise you, he's the most known artist in the world at this moment. And you did take me through some streaming numbers.
I have the number right here, just because I was curious. I was like, you know what? I know he's one of, if not the biggest globally. Turns out definitely probably is the biggest. Mind you, his most current popular hit, biggest song on Spotify, dropped on an album from January of this year. It currently has 1 billion,
billion,
76,787,357 plays.
Is that good? I think
That's pretty good, especially because the second one is also from that album with 865 million plays. Pretty good. Very well-known artist. My biggest thing with choosing someone like Bad Bunny is going to be like the fact that it will, I think, be a turn away from what we saw last year with Kendrick Lamar, where a lot of people I know weren't too pleased with the halftime show, is that it felt more of like just him rapping. Like, yeah, there wasn't as much flair.
Oh, there'll
pumps.
Be flair.
Oh, yeah.
If there's one thing Bad Bunny will bring to you, it's flair.
The performance itself, the showmanship of it, should be next level.
Yeah, I'm curious who else he'll bring out as well. I'm sure somebody will show up.
The main one that a lot of people like posed was going to be Cardi B.
Yeah, Cardi B with I Like It.
I Like It Like That.
I Like It Like That.
Great song, by the way.
Yeah.
Fun song.
That's her song, though.
It is. He's a feature on it. There's only one other problem with that.
She'll be
very
pregnant. How pregnant will she be then? 6 months, 7 months pregnant at that point?
Yeah, by February.
Okay. Rihanna did it. Rihanna was up in the rafters, man.
That's true.
She was up in the rafters 7 months pregnant. But, you know, nobody's built like Rihanna, you know? Rihanna's built different.
Truly. Shout out
to Rihanna.
So we'll see. I mean, that's probably one of his more popular features or songs, just because a lot of the song is in English.
Yes.
But I don't know about you. I have him
in my music.
Oh yeah, it's not just him. Like there's so many artists where I'm just like, yeah, this is a cool vibe. This is like it's just good listening. I don't know what they're saying.
I'm not surprised by the reaction
from
the older crowd because it happens every year, but I don't know. I feel like we've gotten to a point where it should be understood that this isn't for you. You know, I know you're going to be watching the Super Bowl. You want to see the halftime show. But I think we've gotten to the point where you've complained enough and it ends in a certain, you know, ends a certain way, always with an artist you don't like or you don't know that's more modern, that's newer. Like, I feel like at a point you just would give up on the complaining. You know what I'm saying?
You would think.
Eventually.
I would hope because, like, we don't all just need that much negativity going on. Like,
for sure.
Put on some songs.
But you know what? I'm looking forward to Bad Bunny.
Me too.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good time.
Should be fun.
No, it is a good time, though. Major League Baseball playoffs got going today, and we have some great matchups. We do also have some Major League Baseball firings and hirings.
A lot of firings.
And there's a lot to discuss. So we'll go ahead and get to that on the other side right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Major League Baseball playoffs get going with the Wild Card Series. We have some really good series. We'll get to those in a second, but I had to drop this. Major League Baseball Communications put out earlier today their viewership for the season. And you know what? I'm impressed. Not bad. Pretty good. It increased across every single platform that they have, every partner that they have. For Fox, it was up 9%. FS1 up 10%. MLB Network up 13%. TBS up nearly 30% at 29%. Sunday Night Baseball and ESPN up 21%, and NHK in Japan was up 20%, which was the most watched season ever on that network. And then also MLB.TV set record numbers with amount of subscribers and amount of viewership.
Guilty.
34%. It was the most watched season ever on MLB.TV for people that subscribe. So I mean, in the end of the day, really, really good turnout for Major League Baseball. For the regular season. And here's the thing we talked about here at the break. I think when you talk about viewership in Major League Baseball, you do have to take into consideration how many damn games are out there. There's 162 for every single team. It's really hard to, you know, incentivize fans to watch every game of the season, to go out of their way to get MLB.TV, to get their subscription to MLB Network, but it seems like they did a decent job of it this offseason. And I was kind of surprised when I saw these numbers, to be honest with you.
So was I. It's a step in the right direction for what a long time felt like a dying sport, especially when it came to fan engagement and viewership. But it really is a great step. And one point that you made there is something that Jeffrey and I talk about pretty frequently, especially in the context of Major League Baseball, is the fact that there are just it's so hard at times to find where your team is playing because so much of the league.
And here's the thing that we need to – Rob Manfred and the MLB needs to take care of. Like the blackouts in certain markets, it's out of hand. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, some of them are, like, ridiculous. For example, I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan. I subscribe to MLB TV. I like to watch my team. I'll – shoot, even if I'm just out and about – I can't watch. I'll even just put on the radio cast. Like, a lot of these places have great radio teams. But the Memphis area has a lot of blackouts.
Yes.
And some, to me, don't make sense. For example, did you know I could not watch when the Rays played in Cincinnati?
Why? No idea.
I have no clue. That's a blacked out team for where we are right now. The Cincinnati Reds were blacked out.
Well,
on FanDuel Sports Network /MLB TV. It's both.
All right, this is a niche conversation I'm about to bring up, but
okay.
My brother used to live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
Did radio out there. He's now in Chicago with 670 The Score. I guess a sister station here, and another Odyssey station in Chicago. Shout out to them. Go listen to them. They do a great job. But when he was in Iowa, there you sort of have the four markets there. You got the Brewers. You got the Cubs. You got the Twins, and there's one more that I'm missing, right? Maybe the Sox. I think the Sox are involved
there. The White Sox.
The White Sox are involved there, right, because they're in Chicago. And that's where a lot of the fandom is in that state, right? And they have multiple – minor league teams. They go watch. Sure. I remember going to Cedar Rapids. Funny, so I went to a Cedar Rapids Colonels game when Royce Lewis low A ball. He was in low A ball.
Oh, wow.
This was way back in the day. He hit a bomb while I was there. It was really fun. It's basically
great
a fly
player.
Ball to left that went out. He's a great player. But they have a really hungry Major League Baseball market, and they go to the Field of Dreams, which is in the state of Iowa. Like, there's a lot of fans in that state. Yet those four markets I just talked about are blacked out every single game. They can't watch. It's just amazing to me how they can't figure that part of it out. That seems like a very easy fix. Obviously, I'm not some TV network executive that knows all the rules and how the blackouts roll and how it works. But
it's the RSN.
The people in Iowa
want
should
to watch
be
baseball.
Able to watch baseball and their favorite team when they want to. But it even happens in Memphis, to your point. But like that's
you've got
one
like five or six.
That's
here.
One there in Iowa that always has confused me.
Oh yeah,
I know they don't have a. I know that in the state they don't have a Major League Baseball team, but they have a thriving market for Major League Baseball and for baseball in general. And Major League Baseball has not served them in the slightest.
Yeah, the only games like if you don't have one of these like, I don't want to say better like better subscriptions, ones that cost quite a bit of money, you can't watch unless your team just happens to be on Sunday Night Baseball, TBS Monday Baseball, you know, or whatever it ends up being. And it's criminal. It's criminally underserved because those are people that want to watch the games, that want to have that access, and they can't.
Yep, no doubt. All right, now I will say this. Wild card matchups absolutely rock. They rip, brother. Now we have two finals for game ones today. Tigers win 2-1 over the Guardians. In this game, 28 strikeouts, which is the most in an MLB postseason game since 2017. Now, 28 strikeouts, you know, Tarik Skubal was going for the Tigers. So you know where a majority of those came from, but he had 14. He had half of them. I think Gavin Williams on the other side had eight. But 28 strikeouts. That game came down to the Guardians making two errors that put extra guys on base that ultimately came around to score. So the Guardians lost game one with two unearned runs for their pitchers on the board. And at home, that's as brutal as it gets. And toward the end of that game, they had a chance to capitalize. It didn't make it happen.
Especially in the context of the way this season ended for the Guardians.
Right.
Them coming back from multiple double-digit game deficits to end up winning the division, getting the opportunity to host the Tigers, who up through all of last season, up until the late stages of this year.
These were teams that were going in opposite directions as the season ended.
Skubal had even struggled towards the end of the season. Oh, he comes out there today. Vintage. I am for the people that if you just want to watch a great pitcher go to work, go watch a Tarik Skubal start.
Yes.
I mean, the 90-mile-an-hour changeup was working. And this is what really got me. I pop in, you know, I'm coming in to do the show with Jeffrey. You know, I'd been like slightly watching, keeping an eye on it. I'm like, okay, cool. Skubal's doing Skubal things. I get in here. It's the late sixth. It's into the seventh inning. Mind you, he's already up into the almost hundreds of pitches at this point. He is still pumping 101 miles an hour on his sinker.
Yes. Yeah.
Dude.
That'll do.
That will play.
Yes,
that
will absolutely play. Also, the other game that just went final, just recently.
Yeah, just a few minutes ago.
3-1, Cubs win game one there against the Padres. But later tonight, Red Sox-Yankees in a wild card matchup. You can't beat that. And then Reds-Dodgers is going to be, to me, I
that could
you
be
know
fun.
Who I'm rooting for, okay? I'm not rooting for the Dodgers. I'm not rooting for them. The Reds did everything in their power down the stretch of the season to will themselves into this wild card spot. I am rooting for the Reds very, very heavily. Do I think that they will win? Probably not. But at the same time, this has the potential to be one of the bigger upsets we've seen in Major League Baseball recent memory in Major League Baseball.
Just because we were just on the subject of these pitchers, these last two games, you want to go watch some pitching matchups. in about half an hour here, Red Sox, Yankees, Garrett Crochet, and Max Fried.
Max Fried.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll be good.
And then later tonight, that's Cincinnati out west. Hunter Green, absolute flamethrower, and Blake Snell going at it.
Yep. I am.
These might be more 2-1, 1-0 games.
I know Connor will be back in that seat tomorrow, but I bet he's ripping and roaring away from the. Even though he's been under the weather, I'm sure he's
locked.
We have first pitch here at 5:08. Red Sox playing the Yankees. I'm sure he's ready to go.
Oh yeah, sure he should be locked in on that.
No doubt about it. All right. I have to ask you a question, George, because I know you're familiar with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to deal with him, Kyahn Bloom.
Yes.
For the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak has stepped away, and we knew that this was the succession plan, but he stepped away from the Cardinals after 18 seasons, won the 2011, helped win the 2011 World Series. I think that was more Walt Jocketty and Jeff Lunau who sort of put that together for him, but that's a different story for a different day. Don't want to get into that too much. I'll get into it later when we get into the Blitz. And Brad Carson is another Cardinal fan.
We
have to chop that one up. But Kyahn Bloom's taken over as president of baseball operations.
Yes.
For the St. Louis Cardinals. What should I think of the guy as far as what he can do with a organization who is intent or content on just being middle of the pack payroll every single year? This is an organization that, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago would probably be in the top 10 on a consistent basis. They would pay their guys. They could get guys from outside. They could go sign free agents that just wanted to be a part of the Cardinals because of the culture they had and everything they had created. But now it's completely different. My assumption, based on what I do know about Kyahn Bloom, is that he is a guy who can deal with it probably better than John Mozeliak did before him in regards to not having a bunch of money, not having a big payroll, and being able to still will the team into the playoffs with the talent that he brings in. But what's your opinion on this, having dealt with him before?
I think that's probably the case. Now, I will say it did not go well for Kyahn Bloom there in Boston, and I'm not
sure
100% sure why. For me, why that didn't work is, to me, a bigger question mark, because Boston...
Well, but he did some good things with a low payroll, then gets a bigger payroll and struggles. Maybe he's just built to be that money ball.
Maybe, and it also very well could be the structure that the Rays have and have had for a long time. I mean, if you look at it, their former general manager that put together multiple World Series teams, not winning, but going to World Series teams, is now the general manager of the Dodgers. And with the big payroll, he's like, oh yeah, we... So it could be scouting, it could be player identification, it could be development, but that's what he's really good at. It feels like getting the right people in the building to do those at a high level, to identify players that they feel they can maximize, getting players that they feel like they can develop at a consistent basis.
He's already done a little bit of that. Like they made the trade to go get Blaze Jordan, and that was a guy that
he was very high on in Boston.
He drafted him. He drafted him, so he's high on him, and I hope that ultimately works out.
But
I know he didn't really have a spot there with the Red Sox, how that was all going to play.
No, with guys like Jaron Duran and stuff like that ahead of him, there wasn't really a clear path for him to get to the majors. I mean, that would also be a really cool local story for Blaze to go play for the Cardinals. That'd be pretty awesome. But I think you guys should be patient. I think, and I don't mean that in like a negative way.
Listen, but here's the thing. Like, I think the Cardinals and the amount of success they've had, especially in the 21st century, like, the patience is just not there.
Yeah.
And I don't think it necessarily should be. they've missed the playoffs 3 straight years now. I think that's a top 10 drought in Major League Baseball at this point. So, like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I think they're the 8th longest drought. I know it's only 3 years, but the 8th longest drought here in Major League Baseball. And this is a franchise that, to me...
Baseball did expand playoffs very recently as well to get more teams in.
Yes, but like it's a fan base that still has a hunger for them to be good. And I hear all of these, exit interviews and how they're going to get butts back in the seats in St. Louis and these plans, these three-prong plans of, oh, we're going to lower ticket prices and we're going to make the stadium a whole lot better and, oh, we're going to have more police presence around the stadium to make sure it's safe. I know we have this conversation in Memphis, but growing up in St. Louis, never had the conversation about safety when attending a Cardinals game. Yes, it can be unsafe down there on the riverfront, and if you stray off the path a little bit too far, just like any big city,
oh yeah,
you'll have your struggles. I mean, for God's sakes, the White Sox have their stadium in Southside Chicago, and I've been to that one as well. But like that, those I heard these plans brought up in exit interviews by all these higher ups for the Cardinals, and I hate to say it, the one thing that I came back to in my head is I go, okay, well, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you were able to go get the best talent, and they wanted to play for you, and you actually ponied up the money to go pay for said players. And we're now in an era where the Dodgers are spending $700 million on Shohei Ohtani and throwing $400 million here and $500 million here and $300 million here. And the Yankees are doing the same thing. And all these other organizations, the Padres are spending a hell of a lot of money. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And they have all these plans on how to get fan engagement back up. And in my mind, having been a Cardinals fan my entire life, I come back to the same thing. Go sign good players. Go put together a good roster. Go win ball games, and they'll show back up. Like they, it seems like the Cardinals, and I think the Kyme Bloom hiring kind of is part of this. They are trying to find every other excuse in the world besides the fact that they don't want to spend money as to why the fans are not engaged. You haven't made the playoffs in 3 years. You haven't put together a good team. When I watch for a 40-game stretch, and I love the guy to death, did some good things this year. When I watch for a 40-game stretch, Alec Burleson be your best hitter, that doesn't do anything for me. When I watch Brendan Donovan be your all-star, that's a problem. It's just not, that's not a sustainable way to run an organization. That's not a winning organization's formula. You have to get good players. You have to sign guys that will move the needle. They used to do it. They don't do it anymore. That's how I feel. They come up with all these excuses as to why fans aren't showing up. Well, fans are pretty easy to understand. Whether you're here in Memphis, whether you're in LA, Chicago, St. Louis, it doesn't matter. If you put out a good product, they generally show up. If you have a winning team, they generally show up. That's how I feel, George. Sorry to get on my soapbox there for a second.
No, I can't blame you. And the thing is, like, this team, and I pulled up the roster because I'm thinking, like, Alec Burleson and Brendan Donovan, like, those are, they're solid veteran ball players. Like, they're
sure.
Fine. Like, where else could this team or should this team have been better? Okay, what happened on Nolan Arenado? He just fell off a cliff.
Yes.
He was not great this year. But even
old. He's
he
old.
Is. He spent how many years there in Colorado just rotting?
Yes.
Well, not rot. I mean, they gave him a pretty good contract.
Yes,
I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
But you rotting, know, rotting from a winning perspective.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I mean,
Mike Trout-esque. Not quite bad. Honestly, not quite that bad.
Don't get me started on Mike. But like even the pitching staff, like you've got two solid starters, two guys that give length are great starters, Sonny Gray and Matthew Liberatore. And then you've got three guys who you're like, okay, well, I've got three bullpen days coming up.
Yeah.
Like, that's not sustainable a 162-game stretch.
It's not.
And then you've got other, like, you've got young guys in there. Jordan Walker, had the chance to meet him. Awesome. He is a great ball player. He is fantastic.
Just hasn't really broken through yet, and I don't know if they have gone out of their way to put him into a spot where he can thrive as well. I think they've had some issues. The first year he came up, his rookie year, I think he was batting 270. They sent him back down to AAA.
For like, 270 is not
like,
bad,
I know, but it's just
let
like,
him ride it out.
Yes. At some point, you have to value development. And sometimes, once these guys get to about 22, 23 years old and they're really good in AAA, you just have to let them ride it out, especially if they're a high pick like Jordan Walker was.
Oh, yeah.
Let them ride it out in the majors for a little bit, even if they're struggling. Right?
Agreed.
I think that's a big part of development in Major League Baseball, and it feels like the Cardinals miss out on that. And also, you try to manipulate time and everything else.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Feel like,
yeah. Well, the teams that do that, those are the teams that, guess what? don't want to spend money.
Yes.
That's the time manipulation right there. There you go.
That's the Cardinals for you. All right. Enough of that. Hour number two is on the way. Opening up hour number two is Jeff Coggins. Stick around for that.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.